Welcome to Convention Conversations, a special limited podcast series from the Northwest Progressive Institute, recorded live from the 2022 Washington State Democratic Convention in Tacoma. I'm your host, Kaya Berndt. We're glad to have you with us. For this installment, we are honored to be joined by United States Representative Kim Schreier, who represents the 8th Congressional District and is seeking a third term in Congress. Welcome, Representative Schreier.
Thank you, Kaya. It's great to be here.
First question that I have for you, just a question that I've been asking everybody today, is that the top two election is just a few weeks away. Ballots are being dropped any minute to voters. Tell me, how is your campaign going?
Well, the campaign's going great. I am very clear-eyed that this is going to be a tough election and a tough year, but I am so excited. We've got a ton of volunteers knocking doors, making phone calls, and I'm excited to communicate to the 8th District and parts of the state that we're not in the 8th District about what I've been up to and how I can help.
It's really exciting. What are your priorities for the next 2 years should you be reelected? What would you most like to accomplish?
Well, I think you can tell my priorities for the next 2 years by looking at some of the things that I've been working on already and really making it a priority to work with both parties to deliver for the district. And this includes everything from an infrastructure bill that is bringing Salmon Passage to Howard Hanson Dam and a safer intersection of Highway 18 and Interstate 90 to working to bring down the cost of insulin and make people's lives a little easier. I'm excited about what I've been able to do so far. We just passed a gas gouging bill to make sure that people are not taken advantage of by big oil. And I'm doing everything I can to make people's lives a little easier when prices are high right now.
Yeah, that's good nicely into my next question. You did mention the Consumer Fuel Price Gouging Prevention Act that you sponsored. There's been a couple of other bills that the House has passed to address the cost of living, the Lower Food and Fuel Costs Act, which many people may not be as familiar with because they haven't received a lot of media coverage, is one of them. So can you summarize what these bills do and how they could help Americans who are grappling with rising prices?
Absolutely. I think fundamentally what people need to know is that we get that everybody's hurting right now, that we feel it at the gas station and we feel it at the grocery store. I mean, everything is more expensive right now. And so I've really taken this on to see what I can do to make life a little easier for people. And one of the ways is the Consumer Price Gouging Protection Act, which basically says in a fuel emergency, it allows the FEC to crack down on oil companies that are price gouging. And, you know, all you need to do is look at a couple numbers to know that something fishy is going on, right? When we are paying record prices at the gas pump and gas and oil companies are making record profits, like higher than the last 10 years kind of profits. And returning that to the shareholders or doing stock buybacks rather than giving us some relief at the pump, I think we need to have some pressure on them to make our lives easier. And then the Fuel and Food Act, this allows things like ethanol 15, which is cheaper than premium gas. It also helps farmers who are paying high prices for fertilizer right now, and it helps meat producers who are paying a very high cost for processing, but not really getting any reward financially themselves.
Right. Thank you. Yesterday, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Can you summarize what House Democrats are doing to defend Americans' reproductive rights right now?
Yep. First, let me just say that I am absolutely furious that they just overturned 50 years of precedent, that they took away a right that women have lived with and become accustomed to and really internalized for the past half a century. And this, what this means for women in half the states in this country is that they will not have access to abortion unless they are wealthy enough to be able to fly to another state or drive to another state and have it done there. And this is a common procedure that one out of four women under 45 has done. And to make this inaccessible is just infuriating to me. It takes away a woman's ability to control her own life and destiny and to choose when and if to have a child. That said, let me tell you some of the things that we've already done. We passed the Women's Health Protection Act, which essentially makes Roe the law of the land. Unfortunately, none of the Republicans in the Senate and two Democrats in the Senate did not support that bill. And so we will continue to try again, and we need bigger majorities. And so if you're wondering what Democrats will do, give us bigger majorities and we will show you.
Thank you. And moving on to voting rights, are there any actions Congress could take through the budgeting process, also known as reconciliation, to shore up voting rights, which are under attack in Republican-controlled states?
I have not heard any suggestions about using reconciliation specifically to work on voting rights. But I can imagine Joe Manchin is essentially the keeper of all secrets reconciliation right now. But I could imagine being able to use that in a budgetary way. Reconciliation is tied to budgets. But if you said you could put a certain number of dollars toward helping states do mail-in ballots, those kinds of things, you possibly could use it. I have to say, I have not heard this yet, but I will take it back to Congress and ask.
And then just one more quick question for you is that in the current Congress, one of your areas of focus has been critical infrastructure, especially access to clean drinking water. So can you talk about the legislation you've been developing to enable local governments to invest in pipes, irrigation facilities, and treatment plants needed for Washington's farms, families, and businesses to thrive?
Yes, this is called WIFIA. That's the short name for the water infrastructure funding. And the idea here is that, when you embark on a big infrastructure project, especially if it involves water, wastewater treatment, it is a very costly endeavor. And the ability to finance that up front and pay that off over 55 years instead of 30 makes all the difference in the world on whether a community can afford to do this. And so these are projects that will conserve water, that will make sure we have clean drinking water, and that will do wastewater treatment, all with the ability to finance them.
Representative Schreier, it's been great to be able to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about your campaign and about the work that you're doing. For our listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, we invite you to check out our other convention conversations. For NPI, I'm Kaya Berndt, and take care.